Monday, July 29th, and it's questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I'm absolutely thrilled to be in a room with so many gods and goddesses. I do hope that is sinking through to you, that you realize that you're connected to this thing that we call God, this thing we call Source, this thing we call the universe, that we are connected to that power, and that power is a power for good, and you can bring that power into your life so that you can have a good life. Now, with that said, I handed these out a while ago, a year or maybe. As you can see, my copies are all, because I read this faithfully. Every morning I read these two. There's one on the back, by the way. So it's three different things here. The first one here, my supply comes from God, and big happy financial surprises now come to me under grace in perfect ways. That is from Florence Shin. And if you remember that, the big happy financial surprises are always on the way to you. You will start to see that coming to you. I could tell you a quick story about that. Since I do this every morning, I had a person come into my house and they said, here, I want to give you this. And they dumped their purse on my coffee table. And there were $1,500. So, I knew that this stuff works. So, my supply comes from God, and big happy financial surprises now come to me under grace in perfect ways. Then, with this treatment for prosperity, I would like to point out I always have what I need, and my heart's desires are available by merely requesting them. That's very important. I always have what I need, and my heart's desires are available by merely requesting them. And then for any treatment that you're doing, any treatment work that you're doing, the last paragraph here is the one that is the most important. So I release all concern, worry, challenge, and negativity, for my vessel is cleansed to receive my joyful prosperity. If you're worried or concerned and have challenges and have negativity, your vessel is not clean. Remember, your mind has to be clear in order to do that. So if you do a treatment and then you sit down and worry, it's not going to work. So that last paragraph you can add to anything that you're doing. So I release all concern, worry, challenge, and negativity, for my vessel is cleansed to receive my joyful prosperity. You see, people do treatment work and then they worry and fret and go on about, well, it's not going to work. I always declare my worthiness, and I let God do the work of these words. Did you hear that one? My worthiness, I let God do the work of these words. That is what we have this thing called God for, this thing called Source, this thing, whatever you want to call it. Then you have to let God do its work, you see. I never try to step over, remember, fun and entertainment, ways and means. God is the ways and means, so you do that. I receive my blessings now, and so it is. Now, the other small treatment on the back, the thing I would like to point out is, I'm a person of true worth, and I demand tides of financial good to wash over me. So you can demand. I am a person of true worth, and I demand tides of infinite financial good to wash over me. So if you only do the underlying things in that paragraph, you're going to get somewhere with your treatment work. Does it make sense? Does anyone want to ask any questions about these three different treatments? This is an affirmation, not a treatment, the top one. It's an affirmation. It's a wonderful affirmation. I use it all the time. I am, as I said, I left my copies in the car. They're so worn out and torn that I was surprised the printer was able to do something.
What's the difference between an affirmation and a treatment?
All right, this is a treatment underneath here. You see it has all these different steps. It has five different steps to it, where an affirmation is just one sentence. So that's all the difference there is, you see? My supply comes from God, and big happy financial surprises now come to me under grace in perfect ways is an affirmation. You can use it as a treatment, but it's an affirmation. Treatments are a little longer always, and they either contain 5 steps or 7 steps. So, good question. Anyone else want to answer a question about this? Plain as day. You had this for years. Didn't I give these to you? I bet you don't do this. Pardon?
Well, you passed these.
I've passed these out before.
Yeah, you passed these out about 3, 4, 5 months ago.
Oh, no. More than years. But I do it every morning. I read it faithfully every morning.
Would you talk a little, when you say you're like under grace, in perfect ways, but under grace, could you talk a little bit about grace?
Under grace in perfect ways. You know, when I was in the South, they talked about amazing grace all the time. And somebody thought that Amazing Grace was Wonder Woman's sister.
Oh,
I think that's funny.
Yes,
under grace.
No, under, which part of the
treatment? Yep, top, here. Under grace in perfect ways. That means the grace of God. That means the grace of the universe. That's under grace, you know. Do you remember that little old saying, no, but for the grace of God, there go I?
Mm-hmm.
But for the grace of God, there go I. So God is the grace that you're looking for. That's the grace that's always around you. And that grace is always protecting you.
So you keep defining the word grace with grace. What's another word for grace?
Protection, givingness, you're protected. I think of grace as an envelope. You know, I'm enveloped in grace. Or the bubble of grace and
protection.
Grace, the grace of God. The protection of God. Does
so
that help?
If God, we're under God's purview, God's overview.
Yes.
Is that grace.
That's the grace. The grace of God. That help you? Okay. Any other questions on these? These are very powerful, by the way. You know, you just have to do it till you absolutely believe it. And I'm still doing it. And I must have been, I bet I've been doing this for 10 or more years. But every day I do it. And things happen. Things come to you. Okay. So, any other questions now? You can be on that, or any other questions I'm open for. Remember, during the month we were talking about good. You know. Being good.
Kindness.
Good. So, who has a question? Yes. Be kind to yourself. Be good to yourself. Oh, you have a question. Oh, look, he has a question.
You say be good to others and be good to yourself.
I say be good to yourself and then be good to others. Always self first.
What about with people who aren't good to you?
Stay away from them. Why do you draw something into your life like that?
So you don't have to be good to them.
No. No.
What if you can't because I can work with others?
And that because you're at work?
Yeah.
Well, you then here, put the grace of God in front of you, put the bubble in front of you, and just go on about your business. Because regardless, they don't know that God's in them, you know, that they're divine. They just don't recognize that.
What do you mean when they're being or disobedient?
Right, but now you look at that underhandedness and you look at the way they're acting and you say, thank God I'm not that way, and look at them, I could have been that way, but I've chosen not to be that way. I know better now than to be that way, and they're living in complete grace mind. You see, and they think everything is all right, but that's complete race mind, all that stuff.
But are you referring to what you should do to correct them, or how to deal with
them? Well, be kind to yourself and others. So I guess the question was, how do you be kind to others if they're unkind to you? And the answer was, stay away from them. But if you can't stay away from them because they happen to, you know, you have to be around them, then what do you do? So that was the question.
Yeah, then you set the example and so forth, and you use them in your life as a barometer of what's going on around you and so forth, and you look at them and you say, thank God I'm not like they are, you see. But you can't correct them.
Do you think you attract people like that in order to learn that lesson? And that once you learn that lesson, maybe you won't attract them anymore?
That's right, yes. Yes. But remember, the lessons are never to punish you in any way. They're never to punish you. They're just to show you what's going on. You just have to look at things. And not get into it, you say.
That's interesting, because when you identify something that irritates you, that you tend to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lesson here is to not focus on that, and it'll go away.
Yes. And the other thing is, if you're focusing on that and that pops up, why does that pop up? You wouldn't recognize it if it wasn't in you. So as soon as you correct yourself, it goes away. Anything that you can see and say, oh, look at that person, look what they're doing. They're horrible, they're mean, or they've done this, that, and the other thing. That has to be going on inside of your consciousness, or you wouldn't see that, you see.
I have a quick question about the treatment.
Yeah.
The first one's called a treatment for prosperity, and the other one's just called a treatment, but would you characterize it as a treatment for abundance or a treatment for unlimitedness?
I would use it for abundance.
Abundance, okay.
See, I demand infinite financial good to wash over me. I love that one. And that's that demand, you know. You can demand something. Why can you demand something? When you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally level, and that you matter, then you can start to demand things. Because you knew that you were a snake when you picked them up.
Right. But do I just drop them, or do I, what do I...
Just drop them? You want to keep picking up the snake and being bit?
I do. I don't want
to. See, we know those things, and we keep doing it to ourselves. But you know they were a snake when you picked them up.
Right.
And what do snakes do? They bite you.
I had to do that, by the way. Oh, yeah.
Took too much energy out.
Yes, it does.
Too much energy. And I've said that to her. You know, but just stop during a phone class. Or just Paul still calls me. And
She didn't get the hint.
She didn't get the hint.
What's up, Ruth? I will.
Oh, goodness. Oh, absolutely, please.
No, you don't need it. It was when you don't like someone or they're not kind to you, are we supposed to sort of act as if we're liking them? No. Okay. That was the answer to that.
I don't like you. I care what you do, I don't like you. Always work on yourself. Always work on yourself. Till you get to the point where you can look out and you can see them. That what happens is you draw those people into your life and you get attached, you see, and you must always stay unattached to this stuff. It's just a movie that you're watching. These are just characters. You don't like that character in a movie, you don't go back to the movie. You see? And when they change, they may not change, but that's not your problem. Your problem is to change yourself. We waste too much time trying to change things out there. We can only change ourselves.
And also, a lot of these behaviors from, because I've got like a neighbor who's troublesome sometimes, and like it would have been very easy to burn bridges, but like that would have caused, you know, problems. But like if you let things bounce off you and don't affect them, don't take them in, then they don't.
Right.
They don't neural into you.
That's right. The mind wants to make you right and the other person wrong all the time. And that's what you have to watch, what your mind is doing to you.
I think I misunderstood that too, because we were talking about being kind to others and you were saying, you get hit, turn the other cheek, you know.
Oh, I never said that.
I thought
he
did.
Turn the other cheek. Now that's back to Christianity. And metaphysically, what does it mean to turn the other cheek?
Change your mind.
It means change your mind, but it means look in a different direction. The other cheek, turn. The other cheek, you turn away from what it is and you look somewhere else. That is what it metaphysically. What it means to turn the other cheek. Christians think it means turn your cheek and get slapped again on that cheek. No, that is not what that is. And that's taught, and that's in race mind, and that's in the world. That whole concept's in the world always. But you start with yourself always and be kind to yourself.
And isn't that teaching passivity? When you turn the other cheek and...
Yes, right.
Not to stand up for your rights.
Well, you always are standing up for your rights, but you
no,
have
I
to...
No, when you turn the other cheek in Christianity.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
You're not standing up.
Oh, no, you're... You know, because most Christians are under the illusion that the meek shall inherit the earth. And they won't. You know. We're taught to be meek. Weren't you taught to be meek? Of course. We were taught.
No, I was not taught to be meek.
Oh, weren't you? Even in churches and so forth when you went? No?
I didn't
Well, most people were taught to be meek. Go ahead. Meek means...
Passive.
Passive, yeah.
Quiet.
Yeah. Just
shy, behave.
Yeah, all that meek.
Humbles.
But what do we know? Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid.
You'll get your just reward in heaven.
Oh, my. This is a throwback from where? Now you sound like my friend Doug the Baptist.
That was your first
But to be meek, sometimes if you just ignore everything, you're not being meek.
No, you're ignoring. You know a meek person, you could just like to kick them.
Mm-hmm.
If you when you meet a real meek person, you want to kick them.
You want to shake them.
Yes, and say, wake up, stand up, get a backbone, grow something. You know? That's meek. And, of course, meek people think that, oh, God just loves me because I'm meek. God loves them, but not because they're meek.
In the Bible, isn't there one of the Beatitudes or something, the meek shall inherit the earth or something?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a verse in the Bible.
Yes.
Well, maybe they were referring, I always think they were referring to like barbarians coming and wiping out villages, and then the meek will inherit the earth. I always thought they were sort of like the underdog.
But see, then that's a race mind concept, that the underdog will, you know, and we in this country, we're always for the underdog and so forth. Doesn't work. Next, August, you must have a question.
And I was just thinking, how do you feel about people that feel that they have to confess everything about their life to somebody or to the world?
Well, tell them it's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that because I've had that done to me. Mm. I'm like, okay, I don't know that.
Have you ever noticed that some of the best friends that you have or have had, you never had any history? You never had to tell them anything. You just were friends instantly. But some of these people have to tell you everything that they've ever done and gone through and every, oh my God, boring. You don't need that. That's in the past. That has nothing to do with anything.
Well, it may be cathartic for the person, though.
They feel that
they...
And I think also they want to relieve themselves of if they lied about something.
Yeah.
So you lied about something. You know, God is not going to love you any less, you know, for that, you know.
I don't have these people. So.
Hmm?
You're the therapist.
Yeah.
Next, come on.
I have a question. So, I cannot feel, I mean, I can feel prosperous to a degree, but I'll always feel more prosperous when I know those surrounding me and the rest of the world is on a path of prosperity. So the question is, what part of this teaching is the easiest, and not to preach to other people, but what's the easiest part of this teaching, or the easiest way to share this teaching with others so it goes out and does others good?
What is the repeat that. How can you help other people?
How can I help other people?
By setting an example.
And what does that mean?
By becoming that, so that they see that you're able to do it. Do you get up every morning and say, I am rich beyond my greatest expectation? Well, you better start saying that. See, that has nothing to do with money, but you have to get up and you have to say, I am rich beyond my greatest expectations. And then you look around and you start to prove that you are rich beyond your greatest expectations. And money will start to come. It has to fill itself in. Remember, it's a side effect of all that. When you're at home, do you look at that piece of art? And do you say, oh, look, I have an original piece of art? therefore I am rich. So many people don't have an original piece of artwork. They don't have that. You have an original piece of art.
I have.
So start with that and say, look, if I had this, now I can have the rest. I can do everything else. How did that come to you? Did it require money or anything for you to get that piece of art?
No. In fact, I have 4 original pieces of art. And a few weeks ago, somebody gave me a print of Matisse. And I said, this is the only piece of art I have that's not original.
Yeah. So if you can draw that into your life, those things, you can draw anything into your life. But you use that as examples, and you have that every day. You should look at that painting so that it, you know? And it didn't require money. You see, you didn't have to go out and buy it. If there's anything I want to get across to everybody, money is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. Please, give me all the money you have. But when you're trying to manifest something, money is never the issue. Things come to you because of your consciousness, not because of the money in your wallet. That's one way to do it. The easier way is to use your mind, use your consciousness.
So my question was, how can I help other people? And the answer was, by being an example.
By being an example.
Is that the only answer to that question?
Yes.
Okay.
By being a good example.
By being always a good example. And then look at all the things that have come into your life. Look at the abundance that could come into your life. Do you remember that stemware? Mm-hmm. How many pieces of stemware?
It's like 70.
All right. That came into your life with no money involved whatsoever. So now that's abundance. And you say to yourself, look, I have 70 pieces of stemware here. If I have 70 pieces of stemware, I can have 70 of this, 70 of that, 100 of this. You see how you have to keep training your mind. This is the way you have to keep your thinking going. And that was an abundant thing, wasn't it?
In this teaching, when you are moving forward and really manifesting, and then all of a sudden you hit the wall and you flip backwards, and then you, for me anyway, then I bring the guilt on, and you're going to say, oh, it's that Catholic guilt stuff again. But how do you stop that? What's the feeling one should have, maybe? Because I always feel, now I have to start all over again. I just ruined everything.
Well, no, you haven't ruined everything.
Yeah.
You say, I hit the wall. Why have I hit the wall? Maybe I don't know, but I know that this thing called God knows why I hit the wall, and all the blockages that I'm experiencing are being removed right here and right now. And I'm right back on track again. I'm not letting that thing of starting over. We never start over. You can't start over because you always know more than you did. You know, you always are learning more than you did. Well, that has something to do with your Catholic upbringing, but I don't want to mention that. But no, you're going to do that. You're going to keep getting things and getting things. Then it's going to stop. So you sit yourself down and say, huh, why is this process stopped? I'm still involved with prosperity here. I'm still involved with abundance. I'm still alive. Therefore, all this abundance has to come back to me.
And that has to also do then with old patterns or old tapes.
Yes.
Way of doing it. You think you have gotten rid of them.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're thrown right back to it for whether it's a day or 2 days, a week or whatever. And then you're like, where is that?
But don't do it for a day, 2 days and all. Say, oh, my God, my mind just took me back there, and I'm not going to stay there. I'm no longer that person. That person no longer exists. Here's who exists right here and right now. So I'm going to start from this point.
You see? You don't go let yourself go back and tear yourself up over those things. Absolutely not. You set yourself down again and talk to yourself and say, listen, I can make this work. I know how to work it. And that's how you just keep bringing things. And when you get something in your life, be thankful. I don't care what it is. If it's stemware or whatever it is, that's abundance. And you have to look, oh, I hear people say, I don't have anything. I thought, oh my God, look around your house. You must have something, you know? Yes, next. You're all, I think, when I watch you people, you're all doing well. I don't know why you think you're not. You see, you're letting your mind tell you that you're not doing well. You're not your mind. You must take control of that mind, and you must tell your mind, no, 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 no. Florence Shin affirmation. Florence Shin was at the same time as Mary Baker Eddy. And remember Mary Baker Eddy? She said you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge, and you must always make sure that you win. These women in that particular time in history, very powerful for metaphysically. It was very powerful. A lot of things have gotten watered down. These were simple things. Florence Shin was a very simple person. She wasn't a big intellect. Mary Baker Eddy was not a big intellect. They were simple individuals. This teaching is simple. People have got a hold of this who have an intellect, who want to get a master's degree, want to do all that, and now they want to make it so damn complicated that you can't figure it out. It's a simple thing. You're one with this thing called God. You're one with this thing called the universe. And if God is prosperous, you have to be prosperous. If God is abundant, you have to be. You're not separated from the abundance of God. And you keep allowing yourself to think that you are. You cannot do that. And these women, these early pioneers, I'll use, in the metaphysical realm, they were very simple and straightforward with it. This is what it is. This is what it is. Stuart Grayson. I don't know if anyone ever remembers who Stuart Grayson is. He's gone too. Stuart Grayson was a prodigy of Raymond Charles Barker. In fact, he took over the church when Raymond made his transition. And somebody once was complaining about something out there. I don't know what it was. And he just looked at him and said, well, why are you drawing that to yourself? Why do you want to draw that to yourself? You draw it to yourself when you start to complain, when you start to talk about it. You're drawing it right into you. You must ignore that and say, that isn't what I want. Don't draw things to you. We're always drawing things to us with our mind, with our consciousness. Don't draw it. And if you start, say, oh, I'm not drawing it. Put your hands up. Make gestures. Do something. No. 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 I hope this coming month that everyone will show up, because we're going to go through this till you finally get in. It's going to be very simple this coming month. And if you don't figure it out, you can come to me for private sessions for gratis, and I will get it knocked into your head. Because there's no sense having these affirmations, having this, talking about this, that, the other thing, and making you feel good for 1 hour, and then going out and not being able to use it, or going down the tubes every 2 minutes. That's not what you're here for. I mean, here on this plane of action and here in this class, you're not for that. If that's happening, then I'm not a very good teacher. You see. I want you people to be able to do it all, and I want you to be able to go away past me, you see. Which is exactly what Ernest Holmes wanted, you know. He wanted people to take this and do more with it, and do more with it. And it's just learning to change your mind and saying to yourself, I have the power to do this. I've been granted the power to do this. You see? Back to one of your questions about how setting an example and all. Do you remember when I say, I'm here as an emissary of light and love? That's what you're here for, or you're here about the Father's business all the time. If somebody asks you, what are you doing? I say, I'm here about my Father's business, thank you. Of course, they have no idea. But they think, my Father's somewhere else, you know. But. But that's what we're here for. And we're here to demonstrate this thing. If you can't demonstrate these things, then it's just a theory. And this isn't a theory. And we call it science of mind because of the word science. What does science mean to anybody? Pardon? That it's always the same. Anyone can use it as a scientific principle. Anyone can use that scientific principle, and it always has to come out the same way. Scientific instead of anecdotal. And it works. So use it. And you use it, don't you? You're getting better and better. I can see that. And I'm very proud of you. I know, but you used to come and never open your mouth. Now you talk and I, you know. And I think, oh no, but that's wonderful because now you're asking questions, so I know that it's sinking into you, that you're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You have to think about this. I think about this 24/7. I'm always thinking about it. You know, at any idle moment, I am putting an affirmation through my head of some sort or other. So I am at the point where I'm grasping it. I'm not, you know, I have to work on it. I have to work on it all the time.
Every morning we do it for reading.
Yes.
It's been a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Wonderful way to start.
Yes, I do it every morning. These. Yes. Do you know I was out walking my dog the other day morning, and the girl in our complex had the windows open and she had the radio going on telling, you know, the news and what the traffic and all that kind of stuff. Now that's it. She gets up to that. Oh my God, I could never get up to that stuff.
You have a dog?
Mm-hmm. You don't know the fishes. He's about this big. You didn't
you
see?
Put it away or something.
I may have taken him next door. Sometimes I do. But people are coming now. No. But this thing about that, if you just give up the news and stuff, that's a great thing to change your consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great thing. You don't need to know all that stuff that's going on out there. So and so shot this one, and this one happened, and that. Stay tuned to 11 o'clock on that one, and you'll get the full story of the details and who shot who. Do I care? I don't care. You know, I don't even know those people. No, that doesn't mean I don't have compassion and so forth for them, but I don't need to know that, you know? I don't need to know that. You know, I keep a flower by my bed. And that's the last thing I look at before I go to sleep. Much better than the last thought in my head is who shot who. Okay. It's just training yourself. It's just changing and training, and that we weren't taught to do these different things. So. I know there's a question in there. Well, how has this changed your life? You keep coming, and you didn't, you know. I remember the first time you came here.
Well, I think it's changed my life a lot. I used to think constantly when anything good happened, I'm like, oh, okay, here it comes, something better. Like, I didn't want good things to happen because I just thought, you know.
The other shoe would drop.
Yeah, the other shoe, I just knew it would drop, and magically it always did. So.
Let me tell you about the other shoe. A young man, when we were over in the other place, and, I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, he came to me because he had just gotten a part on How I Met Your Mother. Do you remember him? And he said to me, I'm so afraid the other shoe will drop. I said, this other shoe is not going to drop. Take my word for it. The other shoe's... That's been going on 8 years or 10 years, that show. That man is a multimillionaire. Didn't have a cent before that. But he was so afraid that the other shoe, and that's race mind, and that's where we're taught that all. Oh, too much good now, something bad's going to happen. God is all around us. God is only good. Where's this bad coming from? The bad is manufactured in your mind. No bad in the mind of God. Now, what do we know about the mind of God? If the mind of God is good, now what else do we know about the mind of God?
You're the mind of God.
Well, we are the mind of God, but don't we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God? And if we're living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God, which is good, therefore only good is around us, only good can come to us. Now, that's how you use your mind with this stuff. This is how you convince yourself. You have to convince yourself of this. You've allowed the world to convince you. You've allowed other people to convince you. Now it's time for you to step up and convince yourself of what you want and how you want to live and what kind of life you want. You have to convince yourself of that. You've allowed everyone else to do it for you. See? Now, take charge and say, this is how my life is going to run. And it will run that way. Something, Andy, on your mind? Yes.
I find, you know, as good as this is, this teaching is, and as much as it's, you know, changed my life and Christine's life too, we talk about it a lot. It's really hard to, you know, when we talk to our friends, like this one friend is, he's like Vincent's guru and stuff like that a lot. And some people just don't, it's hard to, and they don't understand.
Well, they don't understand, and they might not. Now, here's what you have to remember. If they don't have ears to hear and eyes to see, let them alone. Because you can open their eyes and you can open their ears. The other thing is, why do you want to throw pearls in front of swine? And that's what you're doing. You're trying to, they're swine, and you're throwing pearls, and you think, oh, that's pig's going to enjoy that. They won't enjoy it. They have no idea what it is.
So it goes back to just being an example.
Being an example, exactly. Loving yourself, loving the relationship you're in, loving the home that you're in, and giving thanks for all the wonderful things in your life. And know that people with the same kind of mind are coming to you. And the other people, you know, I have, people say, oh, you have to give up so many people and so forth when you're in a religious science. I never gave up anybody. A lot of people gave me up, but I never gave up anybody. And I still have that whole, you know, thing in the land of Nod. I still go to all those people, and I'm able to put up with that for a day or so, you know. And I think, well, let them go. I'm not going to argue with them. There's, you know, I'm not going to get myself upset. I'm going to stay calm and peaceful. And if they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. You see. Robert Bitzer, you know, the Hollywood Church of Religious Science, he said to me, Dallas, if they're asleep, don't wake them. If they're asleep, don't wake them. Why do you want to go around kicking people? You're asleep, you're asleep. Wake up, wake up. They have to wake up on their own. And they either will in this lifetime, or they won't. Let's see.
I don't know if
you can tell them when they're tuned right at when they, you can tell them when they go to a point.
Yeah.
At least I can with all their friends. I have a lot of friends that ask about this. And I'll start talking, and I see it in their eye, and I just shut up. So I just stop. Mm-hmm. I figured I'm not going to waste any more of my time. Because you've already tuned me out now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah. Because they're not ready for it.
No.
And that's all. They don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Yeah.
With my family, as you know, coming from Pennsylvania, we do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even bring it up to my family. I already know.
Yeah. Let them say, my cousin and his wife are very, you know, they're very good with this. But they have children, and she said, what should I do with my children, you know? And I said, just set an example, and if they come to you, to do it, but you can't now. All of a sudden, their children, when I say children, their children are maybe 40 by now. Now, you're going to start saying, you should have taught them that when they were smaller. But at least Dennis and Jane are getting it, and their children are seeing it. Maybe they'll ask eventually, how do you handle, why are you people always so nice and calm and all this kind of stuff? That's what you're saying. And did people, your friends that are around there in Topanga, let me ask you a question. When you had the insurance claim and damage, did your friend say, oh, well, the insurance ain't going to pay that off. This isn't going to happen. I'll tell you, I have no insurance. You can't trust an insurance person. Did they not do that? Now, isn't that a bunch of junk? And they didn't your insurance company bend over backward, didn't it? Because of your consciousness. Now, if that same thing happened to them, they're not going to get a damn dime because that's their belief. Insurance companies always screw me. I'll tell you, pay all this, they never pay off. That's a gimmick, you know, right? So, you just listen to those people and you say, oh, isn't that funny? Or, my special thing always to say is, oh, thank God I don't live in your universe.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But if you would have started that, if you would have thought the insurance company isn't going to pay and you'd have gotten that, it wouldn't have done all the stuff it did for him. It wouldn't have. But that's the first thing. Same way with cars. Oh, that garage is going to rip you off. I hate that. I never talk about cars and being ripped off and so forth. That's ridiculous. You know, oh, that garage is going to... And of course, you're going to be ripped off. I go in there with an attitude that they know exactly what they're doing and, you know, and they do, and they explain it to me, and they shake my hand, and I'm thrilled to death with them, with those people. But that's the nits and fleas of life, and that's the way people think life is. I have a friend I was out with yesterday, and she said, and what really, I think, disturbs me a little is she's a school teacher. Kindergarten. And she said, well, you know, life is just, what did she say? I can't even remember. Horrible or something. You know, it's, I think, That's not a nice attitude to start with. If you think life is horrible, it's going to be horrible. You can't do that to yourself.
What are you teaching your kids?
Yeah, well, exactly. What do you think? Well, even if she doesn't open her mouth about that, kids get that. It comes right through. Comes right through. So. It is too bad, but we have these people out there. Just don't let them get to you. Don't let them convince you. You see, people want you to have the same problems that they have so that they feel better about themselves. Absolutely. Absolutely. So don't do it to yourself.
One more question. That was,
yes.
But you know, when people do, you know, as we get to meet new acquaintances, and then they discover that Christine and I are involved in something, they don't really know what it is, and that we go on Monday night, and you know, and we do our readings, and we have this conversation between us about that, you know, what we've learned, you know, throughout our day, you know, and our week, and our life, you know. And sometimes they'll inquire about it, kind of cautiously.
Yes.
You know, how do we address that inquiry? I mean, what are the, give us some good words about how to, because honestly, I sometimes don't kind of know how to explain it really, you know. And if I say what I really feel in my heart, sometimes it might seem a little like, kind of, you know, scare people away or something like that. But is there a, what do you say to people when they just ask about it?
Just tell them you have discovered a completely different way to go through life.
Yeah. Or do the matter dance.
Yeah, or do the matter dance.
Have them do the matter dance.
Yeah. Well, tell them, you know. That's, you know, and here again, it's a setting example. Now, one more question I'm going to ask the two of you. Don't you find that it's much nicer to talk about this stuff when you do your readings and all day and when you go home at nighttime? Isn't it much nicer to talk about this than to say, oh, the traffic was horrible, this person was horrible, that happened to me today, this has happened to me, all that garbage?
We do a lot less of that.
Yes, because that's all garbage. Now you can say, oh, look what I learned and all this, that, and the other. And now the next question for you, hasn't it made your relationship better? Yeah. We'll see.
You know, as we weed out that sort of negativity.
Yes.
What seems to fill that void is just happiness.
Yes. And that's what you're looking for, you see. You're not going to find that happiness when you're talking about, oh, this happened and that happened and this was horrible and that was horrible and, oh, my God, what's life all about?
Yeah. And it seems to be the real matter that's being
happened.
Happiness, and we just cloud it up with our negativity. Don't
yes.
We make it so that we don't right. see it.
Well, I think that's what this friend said on Sunday, something about, well, we're not here to be happy. And I'm a firm believer that we're here to be happy, you
yes,
see.
That's the basis of
it. Yes, that's the basis of the whole thing, that we're here to be happy, you see. Why would this thing that we say supreme and all this create us to be unhappy? Doesn't make sense, you see. But most of that stuff, you know, it's all twaddle. It doesn't make any sense anyway. A logical mind, an intelligent mind, cannot understand it. What they ask you to do is dumb yourself down. You know, most religions say, dumb yourself down and you'll understand this. Well, I dumbed myself down. I still didn't understand it. I mean, it's got gaps and holes in it all over the place. It's ridiculous. Go ahead. No.
Are your friends asking you what this teaching is all about? Or
yeah, some of them have sometimes.
The religious aspect of it, or
they don't really know if it, you know, they may suspect that it's religious, but we kind of tell them it's not really religious, you know, not like, you know, the traditional sense of religion and all of that. You know, but I don't know, Christine may have a different experience. I find that women are sometimes more open to this thing than...
Women are always going to be more open because women have always had to rely on their insides, what's going on the inside, because they were never validated. Men have a difficult time because the world validates men. It does not validate women. So women had to find their strength from in here. And that's what this teaching is all about, finding your strength from inside of you, not from the world.
I can't honestly tell you that with a second to Alex, that I've got a full sort of a response from a man that really invites me out. I mean, Alex, you know, Randy that was here last week, he's open, you know, but he's kind of still, you know,
thinks
he's got his own answers to things.
Because he's in the world.
And he's still relying heavily upon his own. And yet he wanted to come.
Well, when people ask me about the religious aspect of this teaching, I tell them that we believe that God is in each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And that we believe we're responsible for our own behavior. And we don't believe in sin. We believe in mistakes. We don't believe in heaven and hell as a destination. We believe heaven and hell is right here on earth, and it's what you make it. And you have choices in life, and your life is what kind of choices you've made. And that's kind of basically what I tell people about the religious aspect of it.
One of the most marvelous things, and this is from Course in Miracles, the whole idea of Course in Miracles is to choose and choose again. You choose. I'm choosing. Oh, but that's not okay. I can choose again. You see, most people, oh, you chose that. That's it now. You can't do anything. But Course in Miracles, you choose and choose again. As soon as you find out your choice wasn't right, you choose again, for goodness sakes.
I think sometimes, too, some of our friends, they want the results, but they're surprised by the method, by the process. It's too simple. And so they think it's too simple.
Yes.
And that's not going to work for them.
Well, that's the intellect and the ego mind always wants to make something complicated. Always wants to make something complicated. And it's a very simple teaching. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.